Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2479 with a release date of Friday, May 2nd, 2025, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. A high-flying antenna will help study the world's tree population. A ham will be on the helm of Colorado's newest low-power FM radio station, and hams in Brazil will gain CB privileges and lose Morse code requirements. All this and more as Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2479 comes your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, reporting from Wadsworth, Ohio, here's Stephen Kenford, N8WB.
Our top story takes us once again to space, and if you want to have as many quality QSOs as possible, you want to deploy the best antenna possible. That's why a 40-foot extendable antenna was launched into space aboard a European Space Agency satellite on Tuesday, April 29th, from the French Guiana. Its goal is communication with more than 1.5 million trees around the world. Graham Kemp, VK4BB, has that story.
The biomass probe that has been put into space by ESA is looking to log trees, but it's not the kind of logging commonly associated with forests. During the next 5 years, this antenna will be using P-band radar transmissions to collect data on how much carbon is stored in trees on a number of continents, and thus gauge climate change as a result of deforestation, according to a report by the BBC. This kind of satellite, with an antenna that is 12 metres in diameter, is the first of its kind for such a mission. The band's relatively long wavelength is an asset because it permits the signals to see deeply inside forests in a manner scientists have compared to how a CT scan operates. The idea was proposed by the National Centre for Earth Observation, whose director, John Remedios, told the BBC that the goal is to, quote, interrogate these forests, end quote. This is Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
Brazil's telecommunication regulator, Anatel, has two big changes planned for the nation's hams. Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF, tells us what's in the works.
The Brazilian regulator will no longer require Morse code for amateur licenses under changes that have been under consideration since 2020. The regulator will update content in its exams for its three license classes. This is one of several changes contained in a resolution released on April 28th by Anatel. The resolution also grants hams the ability to operate on citizens' band 11 meter frequencies. They must identify with their call signs and are limited to 10 watts of power in AM and 25 watts of power in SSB. They must also stay within authorized channels. The regulator expects to move ahead with these changes after a six-month period in which supplementary regulations will also be issued. This is Jim Meachin, ZL2BHF.
The FCC has granted a low-power FM license to a group of Colorado radio enthusiasts, some of whom are also hams. Kent Peterson, KC0DGY, tells us what's in store.
If you want to hear a limited sampling of what will soon be broadcast on Colorado's newest low-power FM radio station, you can tune in online for now. In early April, the FCC gave a green light to the Colorado Society of Wireless and Broadcast Engineering, a collective that described itself to the FCC as local university students, amateur radio operators, and engineers. The group has proposed a 100-watt station on 107.1 FM. The website that previews some of the programming belongs to the Society's founder, Vlad Fomichev, KX4TH. The station's December 2023 application was approved by the FCC after rejecting claims from the license holder of a nearby translator station that the minimum separation distance between the translator and the proposed low-power FM station was not met. According to a report on the Radio World website, the low-power station is designed to benefit its participants, as well as its listeners, by providing training in audio, computer, electrical, and mechanical engineering. The group has also said it hopes to present community programming, collaborative programming from the nearby university, and will experiment with open-source digital HD radio. If you want to hear a preview of what will eventually be on the air, visit the link in the text version of this week's newscast at arnewsline.org. This is Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Meanwhile, in Florida, a low-power FM station has been issued a notice of violation from the FCC for not being so low-power after all. Jack Parker, W8ISH, has those details.
Florida low-power FM station, WZPP, has been charged with boosting its licensed 100-watt signal on 96.1 FM to as high as 1,022 watts. According to an FCC notice of violation made public in late April, the station, known as the Voice of the Caribbean, was operating at 811% of its authorized power when field agents from the Enforcement Bureau measured its signal strength in May of 2024. The station has been on the air since 2014, featuring sports, news, music, and commentary that serves the Caribbean American community. The non-commercial station, which is operated by the Broward Jewish Alliance, has been told to respond to the FCC within 20 days of the notice's release date. This is Jack Parker, W8ISH.
In the U.S., Bell Labs, which has a long history making of bold and notable moves in technology, is marking its 100th anniversary by preparing for another bold move, this time to a new headquarters. Sel Embi, KB3 TZD, has that story.
As it turns 100, Nokia Bell Labs is turning elsewhere to continue its important research in the fields of technology and science. The company announced that within the next 2 years, it will relocate to a smaller but more modern facility in New Brunswick, New Jersey, and out of the lab's longtime home in Murray Hill, New Jersey. Over the years, Bell's scientists have been credited with developing the transistor, making advances in radio astronomy, and being in the vanguard to usher in the digital age. The company has been the recipient of numerous Turing Awards and Nobel Prizes. Its core business continues to be mobile and optical networks and network systems support. One of its most recent innovations was the development of circuit boards printed on glass. These are for use in beam steering antennas to get less signal loss in point-to-point fixed wireless. This is considered an important development as wireless communications moves increasingly towards 6G. This is Sel Embi, KB3, TZD.
A prolific and well-known author whose specialty was regenerative receivers, or regens, has become a silent key. We hear about him from Andy Morrison, K9 AWM.
Charles Kitchen, November 1 Tango Echo Victor, was a tinkerer and builder from an early age, when his enthusiasm for radio often split his attention between shortwave and amateur radio. A widely published author of technical articles and books, he earned the nickname among readers and followers as the guru of regen radios. Charles became a silent key on March 17th. No cause of death was listed in his online obituary. As with many hams, Charles combined his passion with his profession. After being discharged from the U.S. Air Force, he worked as a radio engineer at a classical music radio station, WCRB, and would also serve as recording engineer for the live broadcasts of the Boston Symphony Orchestra at Tanglewood in Massachusetts and for other music ensembles. He later became a hardware applications engineer at Analog Devices Semiconductor Division in Massachusetts. He was perhaps most widely known as the popular and prolific contributor to QST Magazine and other publications sharing designs of his own creation. Charles was 77. This is Andy Morrison, K9 AWM.
Time for you to identify your stations. We are the amateur radio newsline heard on bulletin stations around the world, including the DX2 AAA repeater of the Association of Active Amateurs International in the Philippines on Saturdays at 7 p.m. local time. Remember that it is time to think of any promising young amateurs you know as potential candidates for the Bill Pasternak Memorial Young Ham of the Year Award. Consider nominating an amateur radio operator 18 years of age or younger here in the continental United States. Consider someone who has talent, promise, and a commitment to the spirit of ham radio. Find application forms on our website, arnewsline.org, under the YHOTY tab. We are accepting nominations through May 31st. The Italian regulators have given Amateur access to new bands, allowing for experimentation and exploration. We have those details from Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
Hams in Italy have been granted permission for experimental activity on three radio bands for the remainder of the year. The Italian regulator, ARI, made the announcement on the 18th of April that it was giving an eight-month extension to the previous period, which ran from late August 2024 until the end of this past December. Italian amateurs may operate with a maximum of 10 watts on 40.660 MHz to 40.700 MHz 8 meters, in the same range used for industrial, scientific, and medical purposes. This permission coincides with the peak of the sporadic e-season. Similar use was also granted for 70 to 70.400 MHz 4 meters and 1.810 to 1.830 MHz. The 8-meter band is expected to be the busiest of the three. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
This has been a year for introspection in the world of communication. The IARU is examining whether to restructure. In the U.S., the FCC is evaluating the full scope of its rules and regulations, and in the U.K., the BBC is looking at ways to rechart its course. Jeremy Boot, G4NJH, tells us what that means.
With its charter set to expire in 2027, the BBC is using this year and next to examine its relationship with audiences across England, Wales, Scotland and Northern Ireland. BBC account holders have begun receiving questionnaires to complete online to let the broadcaster know how they see its future. Tim Davey, BBC Director General, said that the questionnaire, which takes about 10 minutes to complete, is the first of the BBC's two-part research process to include later audience polling, and the results will contribute towards the BBC's charter review process. The BBC's written introduction to the questionnaire states, quote, "The BBC belongs to all of us. That's why it matters that we understand what you want the BBC to offer you and your family, and the UK overall," unquote. It's planned to publish the findings from the questionnaire later this year. This is Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
In the world of DX, the Northwest Group ARC MN0NWG will be using the special event callsign GB0AEL between the 5th and the 31st of May to commemorate the anniversary of Amelia Earhart's transatlantic flight, which she accomplished nonstop and solo in 1932. Her trip took her from Newfoundland to Londonderry in Northern Ireland. QSL via MI0HOZ. Harold, DF2WO, and Warren, KN6ZZI, are using the call sign D44TWO and D44ZZI, respectively. From Santiago Island, IOTA number AF005. In Cape Verde from the 4th through the 26th of May. Harold will be using primarily CW and FT4, and Warren will be using primarily SSB and FT8. They will also be looking to make QSOs via the QO100 satellite. QSL to both via M0OXO's OQRS. Many Russian stations will be using the special prefix RP80 until the 9th of May to mark the 80th anniversary for the end of the Second World War. See QRZ.com for details. Special call sign DM0LIMES is on the air until the 1st of July to mark UNESCO World Heritage Day. That occasion is observed on June 1st. The call sign DM3LIMES will join the station on the air and operate from the 31st of May through to the 1st of June. The call sign was chosen in recognition of the Limes, which borders the Roman Empire at its greatest point. See QRZ.com for QSL details. To mark the centenary of the IARU, Spanish amateurs are on the air using call signs that replace their customary prefix with a special prefix until the 15th of May. How much would you be willing to pay for an antenna? Actually, how much would you be willing to pay for part of an antenna? In our final story this week, we welcome the newest Newsline family member, Jen DeSalvo, W9TXJ, who explores that very question.
There are just 14 remaining elements from the original 32-element Alford antenna that once worked its magic atop New York City's Empire State Building. When the antenna was decommissioned in 2019, some of the elements were offered, free for the taking, to interested parties. Now, however, the remaining elements are being put back to work for a cause. The Society of Broadcast Engineers New York City chapter is auctioning them off to raise money for the General Scholarship Fund of the Society's Ennis Educational Foundation Trust. This is not your average vertical antenna. It is, in a way, the King Kong of antennas. Even though the Alford didn't yet exist when the famous giant gorilla romanced the terrified actress Fay Wray in the classic 1933 film. This became the first master antenna system in the U.S. when it was installed in 1965. At one time, as many as 16 FM stations used it, earning it the distinction of being the world's largest combined FM station system. The antenna was relegated to auxiliary status in 1990, and by 2017, it was no longer needed. Bidding, which ended on April 30th, started at $300 per element. It remains to be seen whether, like King Kong, those bids ascended to impressive heights. Winners will be asked to take delivery in New Jersey at ground floor level. This is Jen DeSalvo, W9TXJ.
Have you sent in your amateur radio haiku to Newsline's Haiku Challenge yet? It's as easy as writing a QSO card. Set your thoughts down using traditional haiku format, three-line verse with five syllables in the first line, seven in the second, and five in the third. Submit your work on our website at arnewsline.org. Each week's winner gets a shout-out on our website, where everyone can find the winning haiku. With thanks to Amateur News Daily, Anatel, APRS Foundation, ARRL, BBC, David Behar, K7DB, EI7GL Blog, FCC, Guillermo Cremarius, PY2, BIL, Inside Radio, JARL, Legacy.com, QRZ.com, Radio Society of Great Britain, Radio World, ShortwaveRadio.de, Wireless Institute of Australia, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. We remind our listeners that Amateur Radio Newsline is an all-volunteer nonprofit organization that incurs expenses for its continued operation. If you wish to support us, please visit our website at arnewsline.org and know that we appreciate you all. We also remind our listeners that if you like our newscasts, please leave us a five-star rating wherever you subscribe to us. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Stephen Kinford, N8WB in Wadsworth, Ohio, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2025. All rights reserved.